Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. A special edition of Sports Talk Live from Rouse's Market on Marone. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. You got a lot going on in the next few days. And lest we forget, WWL invites you to ring in the new year at the NOLA New Year's Eve Fireworks Show. Join us as the spectacular fireworks light up the midnight sky along the New Orleans historic riverfront, East and West Bank. Start your New Year's Eve celebration with the All-State Sugar Bowl Parade. You got to sit back, take a break here. Just take a little bit of time. The Sugar Bowl Parade that rolls through the quarter at 2 o'clock. And after that, explore French Quarter restaurants, bars, and shops until 9. Then the New Orleans Eve concert on Decatur and Jackson Square. Rock out with Tank and the Bangas, Bonorama, and more until the midnight Fleur-de-Lis drop in the world-class fireworks display. Hopefully there's no fog and just some cold weather. We like that. Then New Year's Day, the 91st annual All-State Sugar Bowl Football Classic, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the Georgia Bulldogs will kick off at 7:45. No better way to usher in 2025 than the traditional Fleur-de-Lis drop and the international acclaimed NOLA New Year's Eve fireworks show produced by the Crescent City Countdown Club in partnership with the Mayor's Office of Cultural Economy and the New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Fund, and presented by New Orleans & Company, the Allstate Sugar Bowl, the Berger and Tiller families, French Quarter Festivals, Inc., and J&M Display. All that coming up.
And you know, Hollis said, now, Mike, I want you to comment on this because I'm so glad Notre Dame beat Indiana. Now, I love a feel-good story, you know, an upset. But just the prestige of Notre Dame coming to New Orleans and Georgia, the Bulldogs, you know, they love coming to New Orleans, the SEC. But, my God, you know, when you look at Notre Dame and Georgia, they've combined to win 15 national championships. And, my God, we talk about the SEC and LSU and all producing NFL players. They have produced 105 players on current NFL rosters. So that's the closest thing when you're watching, like a Georgia, Notre Dame. You look at all the rosters around the NFL.
In this series, they're the closest to, like, the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. So you're watching NFL players who you're going to see playing on Sunday.
First thing is, I heard Marcus Freeman say this week, and they talked about, you know, playing in New Orleans and against Georgia and everything. And he was like, man, I know one thing. Louisiana got a lot of good high school athletes. Man, you don't think Freeman's ahead of the curve?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to go down there. I get a few days, maybe make a few phone calls, maybe a few visits to high school players. Man, he sees, you know, per capita, Louisiana and Mississippi have kind of divided 1-2 over the last 4 years of producing players per capita into the National Football League. Notre Dame at one time really recruited Louisiana very hard.
So, Mike, what do you think about keeping up with the Joneses, like name, image, and likeness?
Notre Dame got money.
Okay, that's what you need.
Wow.
You got to keep up with the Joneses. I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. And look at, like, right now, the future of the Sugar Bowl, or just the bowls in general, because you got the college football playoffs. To survive the bowls like the Sugar, you have to adapt and evolve by incorporating themselves, obviously, into expanding in the college football playoff series. The Sugar Bowl is now competing. Now, think about this. With large market rivals, you have to look at the market. Because we are, whether you like it or not, we are big town, small city.
Yep.
That being New Orleans. So we're now competing with large market rivals like Los Angeles, the Rose Bowl, Atlanta, the Peach Bowl, Phoenix, the Fiesta, Miami, the Orange, for the quarterfinal, semifinal, and championship games. Now, for instance, the 2026 title game will be played in Miami. There's ongoing negotiations for 27, 28, and 29. Now, the winner of this game, you know, we look Georgia and Notre Dame, they're on a trip to the semifinal of the Orange Bowl in Miami, one step away from the national championship this year. It's in Atlanta. This is where it bodes well for New Orleans. Nothing is official yet, and this is from, we're going to talk to Jeff about this, but New Orleans is considered the favorite to play host for the 2028 College Football Playoff Championship game.
Yep, 27 so that, is probably going to be in Vegas.
Yes.
So we're in the hunt. Right. That's what you want. You want to be in that conversation. Right. You know what I was saying? This like Super Bowls. You know how we were spoiled in the past, us in Miami? We'd have a Super Bowl every 4 years.
So now you're going to tie with Miami but it used to be every 4 years.
No, to me it's every 10 years now.
Yeah.
At 10.
At best.
And the same thing with the championship game. Can we be in the hunt going forward and the economic impact?
So we talked to – I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
One of the things you brought up about money, and I did this deal about in the Forbes 500, Notre Dame actually fell out. They have five – billionaires in the Fortune 500, but they got 13 people that are from 400 million to 800 million.
And they're part of the
worth.
Program.
Look at Georgia. They have seven billionaires, and they have eight people from 400 to 800 that graduated from Georgia. You don't think those schools are going to be relevant? Not everybody's going to give to the athletic department. They're going to want to do something with the law department or business, know, whatever. But if you look, if you can get one or two of them to do it, that's why, man, LSU, they've done well in the transfer portal. But now we are entering another phase of where money is really going to talk.
Well, no, college football is a different form. I think it is pro football because you pay for play. And what's going to end up happening, I think, so it's not the Wild Wild West. You're going to have some kind of collective bargaining agreement, whether the players become employees or whatever, or whether you have a czar. You know, it'd be awesome. You know, it'd be an awesome czar for college football, like Roger Goodell is. How about Nick Saban?
Nick don't want that job.
Well, no, whoever.
Like work.
He likes what he's doing.
Right.
But they need some kind. Now, the SEC might be for that. But to me, the way the game is going is that they're going to have some kind of salary cap, but it has to be that is to be collectively bargained between the players and the schools, because if it's not collectively bargained, the NCAA and the schools, they were always losing court because antitrust.
And the other thing, too, is the SEC already has a czar. Greg Sankey.
Oh, yeah.
He's the most powerful person.
But it's not a czar for the other team.
For the other team, but he don't care about that. He's just running the SEC.
Right.
But he's the most powerful person in college athletics today. I agree with you. Tim Brando and I have talked about this many times, that there needs to be some governing body with one guy make that call, everybody live under it.
Well, the whole right now transfer portal, you can't be – I think they need to have one – transfer portal. I don't know if you put that in the spring. I don't know how you legislate that. But you can't have it all of a sudden. You guys you're counting on in a bowl game, and they're not playing, they transfer. And I'm watching Washington State and Syracuse. Poor Washington State was trying to hang.
Yeah.
And they have more than two handfuls of players that aren't even playing.
So
Go ahead, Mike.
We had talked to Jeff Hundley last night, CEO of the Allstate Sugar Bowl, and it's a different world now. So first off, most people think it gets rotated, right?
Yeah.
It is a huge financial, you know, input that the city and the Allstate Sugar Bowl puts up.
Right.
It's really, so they need city help. They need state help. He said, if you go look back at the last time they had the national championship, 2020, and yes, they are in the running for 2028. I don't want to misquote. It's like four times as much. It's four times as much.
So not two times, four times.
So to get these games is a huge
financial
commitment. Yeah. And who reaps the benefits of these games? The city, the state. It's put-up time. So right now, Jeff said they are working on a new six-year deal that would guarantee the Sugar Bowl of at least a quarterfinal over the next 6 years.
Well, yeah, you're in the mix. You're in the playoff system.
See, that's just like, it's not, it's that's the world now. Like, you're trying to negotiate money to guarantee at least quarterfinal, and then you're also trying to get 2028. That money's got to come from somewhere. And so it's going to be, you know, the benefactors of the Sugar Bowl and the Super Bowl, which is the city and the state, are going to have to come forward and help the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, help the Allstate Sugar Bowl, or you're not going to get that game in 28.
Mike, one of the things, too, is I was reading that the state of California now is sort of tapping the brake here on the Rose Bowl, because the Rose Bowl is in the same situation. And they're saying, we need state help. What? We're not giving you no money for that. No matter if we reap the benefits or not, it's a crazy world where some states, they put everything in the pot. And listen, we want to get it. And yet you see other states, they're not really interested in doing it.
Well, California's woke. That's why they ain't involved. They got people in L.A. that whoever, like, it's the most meaningful game to me because it's old school, traditional Big Ten, Pac-12, Oregon playing Ohio State. They got some people in L.A. There's so many people, they don't even know who in the hell's in the Rose Bowl.
Pasadena, where's that?
It's like they don't even care about that. So let them, we care. If they don't care, so what? That's their loss.
Because that's why a guy like Jerry Jones now has become a major player, not only in pro football.
Oh, no, Dallas
but
is
now
relevant.
He's become a major
Bowl,
player the in the college good, football
Cotton Bowl,
alignment.
Cotton Bowl's relevant, the same thing. Yeah. Or off the blank, Atlanta's relevant.
Exactly.
Yep. And so it's going to be interesting. And so when we come back, we're going to talk to Jeff Duncan here in a little bit. We also want to talk about the latest finalist that just came out for the Hall of Fame, which includes Jari Evans, New Orleans natives Eli Manning and Reggie Wayne, former St. Eric Allen. So lots to talk about. They're going to be now finalists. That was announced just today. So we'll also talk to Jeff Duncan when we come back. So we'll take a break. We are at the Rouses here in the CBD on Barone Street, or if you like Gerard or O'Keefe or Julia, we are right in the middle. Be here till noon today. Mike Oss, Bobby Hebert, and Mike D'Atelier, and we're going to talk with NOLA.com, Times-Picayune, The Advocate, Jeff Duncan when we come back. Stay with us here at the Rouses on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Welcome back. We are in a special edition of Sports Talk Live from the Rouses on Barone Street in the CBD. Mike Oss, Mike D'Atelier, and the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Come on, get all of your shopping done. Get your black-eyed peas, get your cabbage, get all of the specials. They got lobster on sale, everything. Just come down and get it while the sun is out, because I don't know if it's going to be out long. Lots to talk about. Saints and Raiders, Sugar Bowl, the new Hall of Fame finalists are out, and Jeff Duncan, longtime veteran, experienced writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, The Advocate. What do you say, Jeff, when people ask you, which one do you say? Times-Picayune?
Yeah, I kind of stick with the old New old Orleans school brand, Mike. But we've got a lot of titles right now. It's kind of hard to get on one business card.
Man, I understand. That's all right. That's why I always say Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, and The Advocate. So, as always, welcome to the show. We're so happy that you could join us.
Well, and you know what, Hoss? You know what I think of Jeff Duncan? And
you know he's on the line, right?
No, and I'm not just I know that. I'm not just tooting his horn. But I think of all the journalists around, I respect Jeff Duncan more than anybody. Let me tell you right now, Jeff Duncan is the czar, to me, of experienced journalism in New Orleans. I've been a lot of different places. I think Jeff Duncan is fair. He's going to keep it real whether you like it or not. Now, Jeff, I'm not just saying that because you're on, because I've said that when you're not on. So I'm not just tuning your horn. I just think a lot of people respect your opinion.
Okay, Jeff, you're going to have to give me that $100 so I can give that to Hebert.
The check is in the mail, Bobby. No, I really appreciate it. You know how it is around here, Bobby. You get blowback. We all do. But I think we all, you know, people know we care greatly about the teams, and we just want to see what's best for the fans. I think we represent the fans, and it's our job sometimes to tell the truth. And the truth can hurt sometimes, but it certainly comes from a place of love more than anything else.
You know, Jeff, when I look at it, and I think you were keeping it real, and I don't know if I've ever witnessed this, and I've been here right before Katrina. You know, I was going to help Buddy DiLiberto, then he passed away, and I came on board before Katrina in 2005. Then all of a sudden, you look how quickly, look how Washington's franchise is right now, how they turn around. Look at Sean Payton and Drew Brees. All of a sudden, they were 10-6, number two seed, then the NFC Championship game against Chicago. The previous year, they had only won three games. But I'm looking at right now where we're at, and to give us hope, the Pelicans, for instance, the Pelicans, the Saints, we want to support a team that we can be proud of. And when I look at right now, the Pelicans, I just witnessed this, or just read about it, that all of a sudden, they worse than the Wizards. They got the same winning record. They have three more losses. And I'm looking at the organization. You look at the basketball product. I think the Pelicans somehow, they managed to perform worse than the Saints right now. I mean, and that's nothing that you want to have to say, but it's kind of what have you done for me lately is the truth. You even wrote like they've managed to win one game since mid-November. And then they kind of headed for the worst season in, you know, Ms. Gale's, the Benson ownership tenure. And then you look between the two franchises, the Saints and Pelicans, have played 14 games in the month of December, and they won two. So, Mark, give us a ray of hope, which we have not witnessed. And I agree with you here, whether, you know, I mean, the truth hurts sometimes. It's been the worst New Orleans sports year in decades. That you want to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and that you can turn around quickly with the right hire. I just brought up the Washington Commanders, how they did it.
And look what Detroit has done. The quarterback is the key to it, but look what Dan Campbell has
done.
With
the Lions.
Bob, you were the last guy in the state of Michigan to win a professional championship at quarterback. The last guy, and that was in the USFL.
1983, I tell you what.
Think of that.
I remember Moose.
Darryl Johnston.
He was the commissioner of the USFL. And Jeff, all of a sudden, it's 40-year anniversary. So they introduced me at Ford Field. I'm in the summer, like 40 years. They go, oh, Bobby, I sure hope you can rub off on the Lions. they used to bring up Bobby Lane from Texas, 1958. So, okay, so right now it can happen. And you look what Dan Campbell has done with the Lions and all that. But I said a lot, Jeff. I want you to just comment on that. I mean, if that's even a question.
No, you guys, you make a great point. I just think it's a really difficult time to be a New Orleans sports fan, at least a pro sports fan in our market. I mean, not only are the teams losing, but let's go down the list here of the star players that are injured. I mean, the Pelicans, you have Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Jose Alvarado. The Saints have Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, Derek Carr. Chris Olave's back on the practice field, but he's not playing yet. Rashid Shaheed. I mean, that's a lot of star power that's not even playing right now. It's very difficult to get excited. I mean, I remember Pete Finney, my mentor at the Picayune, told me a long time ago when I became a columnist, he said, when in doubt, write about the stars. People love star athletes. They look up to them. We don't have any really in the market right now because they're all injured or they're on the way out of town. So it's a very difficult time. And I think while it can turn around, we've seen it happen here in New Orleans a couple of times with Jim Haslett and Randy Mueller turned it around in 2000, and it happened again in 2006. I think Saints fans are smart enough to see the salary cap situation, the aging roster, and I think they worry that the future might be as bleak or bleaker than the present. And I think that's what's caused frustration and consternation among the fan base. They see really very little hope. And I think that's why a lot of it has been thrust upon a player like Spencer Rattler unfairly. the expectations have been so great from some segments of the fan base on a fifth-round draft pick who, you know, probably shouldn't even be on the field right now, but people just dying for some semblance of hope.
You know, and speaking of hope, and you know, like, look at supporting cast, that all comes into play. But when I look at Spencer Rattler, I thought it's interesting. You look, he's lost each of his five games that Carr has sat out. His quarterback rating is like 68.5. He ranks 41st out of 43 quarterbacks who attempted at least 100 passes. And you look, he just had bad luck with his supporting cast. Okay, Mike and Hoss and Jeff, you might know this. Here's a trivia question. The Saints have not won a game started by a true rookie quarterback. I was never a true rookie quarterback because I was in the USFL. But the Saints have not won a game started by a true rookie quarterback since Dave Wilson. Beat the Rams in November of 1981. So this would be monumental if Spencer Rattler wins a game.
Werfel didn't win one game?
No, not as a starter.
Not as a starter.
Yeah, you got to go back to Dave Wilson, who was the supplemental first-round draft pick out of Illinois.
He was the last guy
in 1981
that was they used a first-round pick on that quarterback.
Now, Jeff, you talk about expectations. I don't care. You know, Rattler, whoever, it has not occurred, the expectations for him and what we want to happen.
Well, yeah, and I think that speaks also to sort of the method of operation of the organization, right? The philosophical stance they've taken on quarterbacks. They just haven't drafted quarterbacks high in the draft for decades. That's always been the way they've kind of operated. They prefer to go the free agent route. But that is certainly a landmark achievement if he can accomplish it. And if he can't get it this week, I don't know if he's ever going to get it. I mean, I was shocked, guys, when I saw – the Raiders were favored in this game at the Superdome. I mean, they're playing with a backup quarterback. They're missing a bunch of starters, and Max Crosby's out. The fact that, a 3-12 team is favored here really tells you a lot about the state of the franchise and where this team's at right now.
You know what, Jeff, speaking of backup quarterbacks, I know Saints fans feel highly of him when he'd ride his bike to work. How about Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy Bridgewater, look at the Lions. They decided to get him out of retirement. It's just been confirmed. I think it was on Thursday or something that, you know, Coach Campbell said, we've been in contact with Teddy Bridgewater for a while, and it was always a possibility. Now, he's played, 9 NFL seasons, retired after playing one season with the Lions last year in 2023. He's going to serve as Jared Goff's backup. But when you look at it, that you talk about a feel-good story. We all know what we think of Teddy Bridgewater. Look, he coaches high school alma mater football team, the state championship, at Miami Northwestern. They won the Class 3A football title. And then they played, we all remember, 2018 and 19 with the Saints. He took over for the injured Drew Brees. He led the Saints to a 5-0 run as a starting quarterback. I can tell you what, the Houdat Nation, we know who Teddy Bridgewater is. That's a minimal sample size, but going 5-0, that's amazing. So, Ken, we will embrace you if you win, the bottom line.
The thing is, that's the bridge to Teddy eventually becoming the quarterback coach with the Lions.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, Bobby, do you know where Teddy went to college? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Louisville.
Are y'all going to build a statue of him or something?
They should. Jeff,
the United statue up there, big dog.
That's pretty good.
High tops. It didn't get any better than that. Johnny Unitas
or Lamar,
is before.
Lamar's getting ready to win a third MVP, maybe.
Lamar. Boy, you know, depending on what they do.
Let me say something about Detroit, though, because you guys, I think, are hitting on a really key topic. You know, we got the Super Bowl here in a few weeks. I think Detroit is going to be one of the favorites, if not the favorite in the NFC. If they were to actually make the Super Bowl, be the first time in the franchise's history, as you all know, can you imagine what it's going to be like here? The entire city of Detroit, Motown will be down here. It'll be incredible, and what a great thing for the city of New Orleans to have the Detroit Lions here with a chance to win the first ever Super Bowl. That's an original NFL franchise, guys. I mean, we think the Saints have had a tortured history. Detroit's never even been to the big game. and Dan Campbell could take that team here. I think an entire, you know, remember how the Saints were America's team back in 2009? Everybody rooted for that story. The Lions will be America's team for sure if they make it.
The Lions are, they just like us, but they're Yankees. I mean, the same people. Yep. It's, you know, it's just like common football folks, football fans. The only team that, to me, that would be on the level of the Lions is like the Browns. When you're talking about pre-Super Bowl. When you look at the Browns, you know, you look at their history. And then I actually, some Browns fans, they still ticked off because they look at the Ravens. That's our team. That's our organization.
That's not the team that won the championship in the 60s.
Yeah.
They went to Baltimore.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, I look at the Raiders. They have 17 starters that went down this year.
I know.
17. That's shocking. I mean, we talk about what happened here in New Orleans with all the guys that went down for lengths of time. Well, it was never 17. And similar to the Saints, the quarterback issue is there. And I heard Mark Davis at the last owners meeting talk about, I'm going to lean on Tom Brady for some of these decisions here. And I get it. Listen, if he's a minority owner of my team and that guy's won what he's won, why wouldn't I lean on him to give me some advice? Now, his dad would never do that. Going to run it his way or he was going to run it into the ground. It was going to be one of the two. But to have Mark say that, hey, I'm going to lean on Brady, and especially at the most critical position and some of the things happening on the offensive side, the football, but to have 17 starters down, that's unbelievable in today's world.
No, Mike, you make a great point. I try to point these things out a lot in my columns. Is I know the Saints have had a ton of injuries, but it's part of life in the NFL, guys. I mean, it's every team. Look at the Detroit Lions. I think they have 14 defensive players alone on IR, and they're still winning. You know, it's all about perspective. And one of the things that I really respected about Sean Payton during his tenure here, among many things, was he never played the victim card, ever. I mean, he refused to let his team use injuries as a crutch. Now, it might have been valid, but he was not going to let that seep into the psyche of his team. And I think that's something that they've kind of lost here. You know, leaning into those injuries, I get it. It's a serious matter when you lose your five-star playmakers on offense. I get it. But you can't let that become a crutch, and you can't play the victim card because it's going on across the league, and we're going to see it here in the Superdome with the Raiders on Sunday.
Now, Jeff, do you think Derek Carr is the quarterback next year? You know, when you break it down and, I don't know, you look at the salary cap implications that's going to come about with that. All I know is Derek Carr. You can hate on Derek Carr. Derek Carr probably gets more hate than deserved to be. I mean, I just look in the league right now. There's not enough quarterbacks. There's 32 teams. But his quarterback rating is 101. He's 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Now he's under contract through 2026. He's set to count $51.5 million against the cap next year. Now the Saints could designate him as a post-June 1st cut, in which they would save what I think they would carry, I should say, $21.5 million in dead money while realizing $30 million in savings. But they would have to keep him, the $51.5 million on the books until June. So what's your take on Derek Carr? I'm saying that Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback next year. I just think, considering, even though they have not, the Saints fans or who that nation has not embraced him, you know who they would embrace, Jeff? It'd be like the second coming of Reggie Bush at the quarterback position. He hasn't even played at Texas yet. If Arch Manning would end up with the Saints, it would be crazy. You wouldn't have to worry about selling no damn tickets. People would want to be in that number.
Well, you'd have to tank for Arch next year, and if you did that, you'd probably move on from Derek Carr, go with a young bridge quarterback, maybe one of the guys on the roster, or bring in someone else to get you through next year and hope you win the lottery to get to him. I mean, you'd have to end up with a very low draft pick because I think Arch is going to go in the top handful of picks, you know, if all things go as planned. But I agree with you, Bobby. I don't think anybody knows, though, what's going to happen with the roster, in particular something as big as the quarterback decision, until we find out who the next head coach is, what kind of direction the organization is going to take. Are they going to go and try and land a big fish like a Mike Vrabel or someone that can come in and kind of run the entire operation the way Sean Payton did? Or are they going to kind of, you know, go the way they've particularly, you know, kind of gone and historically hired young assistants on the way up? Sean Payton, Jim Haslett, Dennis Allen come to mind. Are they going to go that route? Because this roster needs a lot of work, and you can get back. But man, I tell you, talking to people around the league, they think the Saints are in for a big roster overhaul because of that defense that's aged. They got a lot of high priced guys that aren't producing anymore. So whoever comes in, I think, is facing a serious rebuilding job, maybe as big as what Sean Payton faced back in 2006.
And that was a huge one. Jeff, I know you sort of the voice here for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, especially in the support of former Saints players. And we just saw it with Jari making the finalist list. And I think it's deserving. Jari should be in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. I think other than Willie Rofe, he was the most dominant guy for the course of time that he played here with the Saints, and also playing with Seattle, Green Bay, those teams too. But the thoughts about Jari, because league-wide, when he played, and you would talk to a scout or general manager, man, they brought up Jari's name. Once they talked about Drew, then it quickly flipped to, man, Jari Evans, he's not good. He's a dominant player at that guard position.
Yeah, Mike, and he's going to make it in the Hall of Fame. It's just kind of a matter of when. I mean, there's a little bit of a backlog. I'm on the Hall of Fame selection committee, and as you all probably know, we're only allowed by the bylaws to get five modern era players in a year. So there's always a bottleneck. There's always more deserving candidates than we can actually induct per year. And I think that's what's happened with Jari, is there's other players that have been waiting a little longer. Reggie Wayne, a New Orleans native, is another one that's been a finalist for a number of years. Eli Manning is now a finalist in his first year as a candidate. It'll be interesting to see if he is a first ballot like his brother. They're trying to become the first brothers ever in the Hall of Fame. That'll be a significant achievement among all the great ones the Mannings have had. But I'm with you 100%. I'm arguing till I'm blue in the face with the committee members about Jari's candidacy. I think they all recognize he deserves to be in. It's just a matter of timing. And if he doesn't get in here this year, which would be great because it's here in New Orleans, they would announce it at the NFL Honors Ceremony on the Thursday before the Super Bowl at the Sanger Theater. It would be next year when he could go in with Drew Brees, who we all know is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer next year.
Bobby and I want Luke Kuechly in.
Yeah, I mean,
His career was like Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
But man, when he played, he was unbelievable.
No, you remember Drew Brees would say he knew the plays we were running. Drew never witnessed nobody like that. You're talking about on top of the game. Luke Kuechly, I think we're all a fan of his.
Yeah, I think he's going to be probably a likely first ballot candidate. We're going to vote here in the next few weeks. And I hope Jari gets in. I mean, he certainly deserves it, guys. He was an all-decade player. And like Mike said, he was the best player at his position for a decade. I mean, I don't know what else you need to know about being deserving of a Hall of Fame. And above that, he was a great teammate. He had great character. All the principles that you look for in a Hall of Famer, Jari Evans possessed. Just like Sam Mills, another one of those great guys, great teammate, great leader.
Now, Jeff, what about, do you think, I know he's not playing tomorrow, or I should say on, tomorrow, Alvin Kamara. And I think he might say he's not aware of this, but I think he is. He's right at 950 yards, and then, 50 more yards would be his first, 1,000-yard season, which would be a career high, right 7 yards shy of scrimmage yards. I think he's done that like 4 times. Do you think he plays against Tampa Bay to close out the season, that being Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to try and get back for that last game so he can get that final 1,000-yard season. It's kind of one of the last things he hasn't accomplished in his career. It's kind of hard to believe, guys, that he hasn't topped 1,000 yards in his career in a season. But, the way the Saints use him, they basically use those swing passes and screens to him like an extended running play. So he gets a lot of yards that way. But I think he's going to work his way back for that last game. But he might be the only one of these stars that get back on the field. I think if circumstances were different, you know, some of these guys might be able to play. Even Derek Carr, I think, might be able to play. But at this point, when you're out of it, it's a good time to evaluate some of these young players, and I think that's what the staff's going to do.
Well, Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your experience and your honesty, and, you know, just have a great Saturday, and we will see you tomorrow in the press box for the Saints and Raiders.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. You guys have a great Saturday. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
You bet.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, Times-Picayune, analyst and just lead writer and just all-around good guy. Take a break. Mike Koss, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Tillier. We're at the Rouse's on Barone Street. Come on down to the CBD. Get everything you need for the weekend, for the New Year's, for the Sugar Bowl, for everything. It's on sale. Come on down. WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Special edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. A little behind. Had a great interview with Jeff Duncan, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier. Mike Koss will be here until noon. Come on down to the Rouse's on Barone Street in the CBD. Get everything you need for the next few days. That way you don't got to worry about the rain today or the cold. That's coming. So, again, we're here till noon. Special edition of Sports Talk, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Back after this. Welcome back. Special edition of Sports Talk live from the Rouse's Markets on Barone. Shop and save. It is the official supermarket of the Saint. Fresh live Maine lobsters, $15.99 a pound. Save $6 a pound. And guess what? While you're here, they'll steam it free while you shop. That's pretty good.
That's the way to go.
Listen, all you have to do is steam it free, then take it home and eat it.
That's
and
right.
Just cut it up.
It'll be done in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, we didn't talk about it, but yesterday, a big day certainly for LSU. Harold Perkins, and I sort of thought.
He's coming back, huh?
Is that he would return. He's a great athlete.
That means they paid him.
yeah, exactly. But I think he also knew. That where was my draft stock here?
Right.
He's a great athlete without a position. He's got to find a spot to play at the NFL level. And after that first year where he was really a designated pass rusher, hey, go out and sack the guy who's got the ball in his hands. And then Texas A&M sort of changed the world with that because they ran the football right at him. I'm glad he's coming back, and they can find, I think, a hybrid position between linebacker and strong safety for Harold Perkins.
Depending on down and distance, and because his athleticism
is through the roof.
Now, it was off the chart when he first played for LSU, but not so much as of late. You know who's gotten more recognition this past season?
Whit Weeks. Well,
yes, Whit Weeks from Georgia, you know, coming.
And then yesterday getting Josh Thompson, who started 11 games at right tackle and 10 games at right guard for Northwestern. And we talked about it, Bob. They needed a guy that could start for them on the strong side. They have the center now in Braylon Moore, but you needed a guard. And I think that was a big, big pickup to get Josh Thompson from Northwestern.
We're at the Rouse's on Barone. Be here until 12 o'clock. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier, and Mike Koss. Come down and see us. The news is next on a special edition of Sports Talk.